The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Gittin Daf Chav Zayin. There's being that technology is advancing, there are many questions that were not discussed by earlier Paiskim, and we need to find solutions to these questions. One question is, what halachic validity in Chayshim Mishpat, at least, let's limit our discussion to Chayshim Mishpat, what halachic validity does an email have? The question would apply in many circumstances. We'll discuss some specific cases. One question might be whether an email that was sent can be used to implicate somebody in court or in Beis Din. Could an email be used as proof of wrongdoing? That's one discussion which I'm not going to get into right now because I don't have any clear sources at all for that topic. However, I would like to discuss another situation which may be more relevant, and that question would be when one partner sends an email to another partner, or when somebody sends an email to his broker or some kind of shliach, agent of his, to consummate a certain deal or to make a certain investment, and the partner, broker, agent faithfully follows the instructions lined out in the enumerated in the email, and then the person comes and says, I didn't want that. Either I didn't send the email, somebody else used my email account fraudulently, or it was hacked into, and somebody else sent out that email, but it was not me. I didn't give you that instruction, and therefore, you are obligated to pay damages, whatever money I lost because of that bad investment. Once the investment goes south, the person obviously shows up and says, I never meant to do that. Can the broker tell the client, well, you sent me an email. I know that you wanted it because you sent me an email. Or can the client say, no, it wasn't me. It was somebody else using my email account. How would Beis Din treat such a thing? Would Beis Din obligate the broker to pay for damages or not? So I was. This became relevant to me. It happens to be when we were doing principles in the Beis Din this year, and the question was whether instruction via email to execute a principle for somebody, would that be valid proof that the person wants to execute a principle? I mentioned in the previous year, it was actually yesterday's year, that the Chassam Sofer says that the only way to make a principle is if in absentee, when the lender is not available to appear in front of Beis Din, Beis Din would have to receive a signed document instructing them to execute the principle, and Beis Din would have to recognize the person's signature. Some contemporary Paiskim say that is not necessary. The Beis Din does not have to recognize the lender's signature in order to execute the principle for him. However, the simple reading of the Chassam Sofer would seem to indicate that Beis Din does have to recognize his chassima. And then the question becomes, when a person sends an email from an email account associated with the lender, would that be enough of a proof to say that Beis Din can now execute a principle? So once I was thinking about this, I was thinking in general terms, what validity does email have in the world of Chayshim Mishpat? And as I was lying in bed one night, it came to me that there's a raya from our Gemara. Our Gemara is not the full raya, but it's our Gemara in conjunction with a different Gemara that explains our Gemara might be a raya. Our Gemara says that if you find a get tied onto a kit, arniki, or tabas, that is proof that the shliach, the owner of the kit, arniki, and tabas, was the one who lost it. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia asks that you see from here that simanim is their eisa, because otherwise how do we know that it was this shliach that lost the kis, arniki, and tabas? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that the tabas, we'll talk to discuss specifically the case of tabas now. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that the tabas is not something that anybody ever lends out. Why don't people lend out their tabas? What's wrong with lending? Why wouldn't a person lend out a ring? How do we know that the fact that it was attached to the ring is proof that it fell from the messenger who was sent with the gift? So the Gemara says, a person would never lend out his ring, his signet ring. We're discussing a ring used in the olden days that people used to sign documents with. This was an engraved ring that people would cause a depression into clay or some other material, or I guess they may have also used it in ink to sign his name on a document. The Gemara says a person would never lend it out. Why? Because mezaifiba. People could use this to sign his name fraudulently. Rashi says that if a person wants to send somebody to do something, a person would give instructions and would sign that instruction paper with this ring. And that would tell the shliach, that would be a valid instruction to the shliach to fulfill the instructions that he sees on this in this message. So this is an interesting concept, because when we're dealing with a signet ring, we're not dealing with a chasima, with a signature that you can recognize. We're dealing with a manufactured ring that if somebody else got his hands on this ring, they would be able to falsify this person's signature and use it to give instructions that were never intended by the owner of the ring. So you see in the Gemara with the Rashi that we are not chayshish for that. We are not concerned that somebody else used his ring without his permission, and the messenger has the right to rely on that chasima, that signature that he sees, that was signed using this ring, to assume that indeed it was the owner of the ring who was instructing him to fulfill these instructions that he finds in this letter or other correspondence that he gets with this bearing this signature. This may be a comparison to an email, because an email is also something that a person generally would not. And now this is an assumption I'm making, which is not necessarily true, and it's not necessarily something that we can rely on. A lot more research has to be done into this. But I was just thinking of a loose comparison to an email where a person has a password on his email account, and he tries to guard his email account because of this very chashash. A person does not want other people who are to use his email account and give instructions in his name that he has not authorized. So the argument could be made that just like a messenger, a broker, is allowed to rely on a signature that was signed using a signet ring that the person is assumed to have been guarding properly so that his instructions would not be misrepresented by other people, it's possible that we can use this and compare it to an email account where a person generally would also have that very concern that he wouldn't want people to be using his account to be delivering faulty instructions that he never intended to instruct the recipients. Now, there's a question on this. I'm not sure if this is a good proof, because we know in the Gemara that there's a concept called Achzuki Inshi Begambi Loimas Nekinon. If a person has something in his possession, and the only way that he could have gotten this item is either that he rightfully acquired it from its owner, he bought it, or he stole it. The halacha is we absolutely do not consider the possibility that he stole it, and we consider with 100% conviction that he certainly bought it or received it in a rightful way, because we do not assume that people are thieves. So this idea would be applicable, obviously, to the signet ring. If somebody got access to that signet ring and signed the document, either he stole the signet ring, or he was instructed to use it to sign the document. The person obviously wouldn't sell the signet ring for this very same reason that we're discussing, and like the Gemara says, he wouldn't lend it out. He also wouldn't sell it because of people would be falsifying his instructions. So our only option then is to say that the signet ring was acquired through Geneva. The person who signed this document stole the signet ring. And we say Abzuki Inshi began below Mazakin, and we don't assume, and we assume with conviction that this signet ring was not stolen and it was used legitimately. Now the question is, although to acquire and use somebody's email address, the person is doing something which is akin to Gneiva. A person is either hacking into his email address, or he's using his computer, or something like that, or he's stealing the password somehow. So there is something fraudulent about that going on. However, I don't know whether that has the same, whether we can say with certainty that did not take place, just like we can say with certainty that somebody didn't steal anything. the source of this question may be the halacha that we find that goyders ain lam chazaka. Although we said that azukiyin she began v'loy matzakinon, and if we see something in somebody's possession, we assume with conviction that it belongs to him because we assume that he did not steal it. Nevertheless, if we're dealing with something that travels on its own, like animals, the halacha is that when we see it in somebody's possession, we do not assume that it's his with the same type of conviction. If we know that it belonged to one person, Reuven, and then we find the animal in Shimon's possession, we say that Reuven can bring a case against Shimon and say, you stole it from me, you didn't enter my property wrongfully because however, I can claim that the animal walked on its own into your property and you withheld the animal, you're not giving it back, even though that turns you into a thief. You're doing the same aveira, you're committing the same crime by withholding the animal and not returning it to me as you would have had you broken into my property and entered and taken the animal. But it's easier for us to make the assumption that a person would do this, would keep the animal rather than make the assumption that the person actually took the animal wrongfully. So the question is whether we can say with certainty that a person would not sit at his desk, at his computer, and hack into somebody else's email site, somebody else's email, and use his email in ways for which it wasn't intended. Can we say that with the same certainty that we can say that I wouldn't enter into somebody else's property and take his item, his signet ring, without permission? So this is a question, and there are cases in Shulchan Aruch that are slightly comparable to this, but there are differences also. And I'll say over one or two of those cases. We find in the Shulchan Aruch that although we say Azukin Shibigan Biloy Masakinon, let's say Aden saw Reuven enter Shimon's property, and Shimon wasn't home. Shimon was on vacation somewhere. And Reuven goes in. He doesn't break the window or anything like that. He goes through the front door. Let's say he has a key or something like that, or he uses the combination or something. And he enters the property and walks out holding items that he took from the house. And then Shimon comes back from vacation and says, what's going on here? You stole these things from me. The halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Sadi, that Shimon is believed, and he has the right, and he wins in Bezdin, and Reuven is forced to return these items to Shimon. Because although, like we said, nevertheless, in this case, we know that he entered the other person's property. So this is a question. Do we say that, in this case, we know that he's a thief because he entered without permission? No, maybe he had permission. Nevertheless, since we know that he was there in the other person's property, it's not so hard for us to then take the leap and say, well, he took something when he was there without permission. So it's possible that you can prove from here that if a person didn't have to break into another person's property and enter without permission, or if we know that he already was there and we don't know that he had permission, then it's not such a great leap for us to take the step and say that he stole something while he was there. So therefore, it's possible that breaking into an email address, which doesn't necessarily need a person to go ahead and actually break and enter his house, may be easier for us to assume that it took place than somebody stealing somebody else's signet ring. That being said, there are achronim in the Shulchan Aruch that would seem to indicate that there's a different svara. Why, if we saw him going into the property without permission, and when the other person was away, why we would say that he stole something? And that is because since the person wasn't there, it's impossible that he sold it to him at that time. So there's you can go back and forth on this. It's not 100% clear what to compare this to, but I'm just offering a beginning for the journey of finding out what the halacha will be in this case.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.